Y'all, on this episode of the Jada Edwards podcast, I'm representing the people, and we are taking over.
Oh.
So we're about to learn about the Jada Edwards.
Oh, gosh.
The Jada Edwards podcast.
Oh, that's my name a lot of times. Let's see. What do the people want to know?
Jada.
See what I'm going to answer.
You are in the hot seat today.
I do feel a little uncomfortable. Okay, I'm working out.
We're taking over. So all the people just want to know who you are, what your life is. Who is
they don't really want to know.
That's coming for their neck. Right?
But with love.
With
love. Mm-hmm.
With the Chloe heart. Okay, so just some questions to dive deep into your life so we can get to know who you are.
Okay.
So I just feel like there are so many pieces of your life that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. It's the Bible teacher, but what are all the things? If you could just talk a little bit. All the things.
Let's see, the hats that I wear. Mm-hmm. Daughter of the Most High.
Okay.
Child of God.
That's the one holy thing that's coming.
Royal inheritor. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
All right, so... clearly, daughter, sister. I'm an older sister, the oldest, firstborn. It makes me bossy and it makes me think I'm right most of the time. My sister can give a witness to that. And she works here at the church. Let's see, wife, going on 22 years. Mm-hmm. Mom to two, 7 and 11, sweet and spicy.
Very much
sweet and spicy. And what else do I do? I work for our local community college. I'm the deputy chief of strategic planning. A whole job, which I really like. Have been there 21 years. It's like my second marriage. Been there a very long time. And somehow just still ended up there. Planted a whole church, had kids, and just stayed at this job. So people always are like, you work? I do, outside the church.
Every day. Like a regular job.
A full job. And I really like it. It's like this place that gets me out of the bubble. And so I love that. Let's see. Bible teacher. We know that part. Discipler. Love that. Former worship leader. Led worship here at our church for about 11 years. Stopped right at COVID. But still get to oversee the creative ministry. So globally, our choirs, worship teams, band, drama, dance for adults, students, and children come.
It's a lot of commas.
But I love it. And I love all things creative. And so the Lord has been gracious to allow me to still get to support those ministries. Teach sometimes on the weekend.
Writing books here and there.
Writing books. I've written a couple of books, a couple of Bible studies. And that's it.
That's it. I am stressed.
Yeah.
Just hearing that. Oh my
God. And I make dinner. That's probably the hardest job.
That's what's crazy to me. You make dinner.
Keeps me hungry every day.
You wash clothes.
I do wash clothes. Listen, laundry and cooking and cleaning and everything. That is.
It's like this stuff is not outsourced. What are you doing?
Right.
Oh my God.
Right. So, yeah.
So, you mentioned discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we met, through discipleship.
That is how we met.
Came into your life very abruptly, a little aggressive.
Actually, before discipleship, you were me mugging me in a meeting while I was trying to explain a ministry transition here at the church.
Then my interview.
Where we were changing leadership and there was somebody sitting out there in the audience with my arms folded looking at me like, here we go again. And she raised her hand and said, now how do you know when you can trust leaders? I was like,
I didn't say it with a nick. It wasn't like that.
I felt attacked. I was like, who is this person? But then I kind of liked you because I was like, she's spicy and she don't really care. She's like, I'm trying to understand because I hear all this what you're selling, but...
Oh my
God. And then I said, hey, I want to disciple anybody who's been in this ministry because it was some rough spots, some leadership flaws and failures we needed to own. And you kept calling. You were like, Jada said she was going to disciple us. Where is that happening? And so that is how we met. And then you got into my discipleship group. And I was like, oh,
she's like still spicy.
She's still spicy. But it's inquisitive spiciness. Yeah. So it was very good.
Yeah.
That is how we met. But what was your question?
Just discipleship in general. Like, what is your heart for discipleship? Like, where did that come from?
Man, I love it. And honestly, I don't know. I wasn't discipled formally the way I like to disciple. I don't know really what birthed it. Maybe just, I don't know. something in me was like, man, I would love to sit around the table with women and help pour into their lives. Maybe it came out of a need.
Mm-hmm.
I had it organically and formally, you know, Miss Evans, who's gone to be with the Lord, my mother, my grandmother really discipled me. She probably didn't even realize it. Rhoda Gonzalez, just had some women growing up in my life, Elizabeth Cannings, who were always intentionally shaping.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a meeting time, but I think as I got older and a newlywed, and probably because Conway was huge into, he was already into
right.
structure kind of disciple, because he had been discipled mm-hmm. by the one and only Howard Hendricks, who's gone to be with the Lord from seminary and from other men along the way, including his own father. So he was much more about intentional, like, you need a group of women. And I was like, dude, what? I mean, I like to give counsel and stuff. He's
right.
like, no, you need a group. That so structuring it probably came a lot because he was doing that. And when I saw it, I was like, yes, of course. I need mm-hmm. a group of women. I wish I had been in a group.
Yeah.
You know? So from since the beginning, like really since I got married. Now I did it for students before I got married. I had groups of students.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I taught student ministry. I taught 11th and 12th graders at the church I grew up in. They keep you humble. Think you know what you're talking about. They
say, when you get a like, student compliment,
listen,
it's real.
Miss, you know, I love when you be in the word. Amen. But it was awesome. I loved it. We talked about everything. Boyfriends. We would bring songs they was listening to. And like, y'all got to print the lyrics out.
Yeah.
And we'd like to talk through it. I would make them bring their prom dresses. Let me see what you about to roll up out of here.
Yeah.
You know. But it was great. So I did it for students. And I had never done it for women. And so once I started doing it for women, I started doing it with the church before we started the church. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I think for probably like 10, 12 years, I had a group every 2 years. Or sometimes multiple groups. And so those have been some priceless, priceless moments.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer of it. It looks a little different in my life now. I'm doing more leadership kind of cohort coaching, trying to mm-hmm. figure out when I can. It's not the same every 2 weeks and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But man, listen, if you're not doing it or in it, or I'm like, man, what are we doing? That's the commission.
Yeah.
So.
What does discipleship look like for you, though? I know it's evolved through the season, but what's the takeaway that you're trying to get from discipleship?
My goal when I disciple is to pour into someone the things that have changed me significantly. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to cover the Bible from A to Z. I'm not trying to cover every topic, every painful thing you've dealt with, because it's not counseling. It is typically because someone has asked to be mm-hmm. discipled, and I say, let me share with you what has changed me. And that's why it doesn't change that often.
Right.
I don't feel like I need to figure out the latest curriculum or the latest book. That same book, mm-hmm. Larry Crabb, Inside Out, that wrecked me.
This is my fourth
years
time.
Ago. Yeah. And I read it with my groups.
Yeah.
I get wrecked every time again.
How dare me.
Yeah. Going to be with the Lord too. Listen, the going on saints, those are the ones that changed. I think in 40 years, we still going to be reading them same saints that have gone to be with the Lord. But he jacked me up. I thought I was so Christian. He was like,
you. The introduction. You like, well.
The intro.
Never happening.
Yeah, so I still do Inside Out. I still do Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. Yeah. He talks about the attributes of God. Because we are in an application-driven society. Mm-hmm. We love a prop and an application. Make it make sense. Speak to my situation. And Tozer's just like, listen, God is self-sufficient, self-existent. You are not.
Yes.
That's the application.
Yes.
Figure that out.
The book is like this big.
It's like
so good.
Like 12 or 13 pages, but you can only read a paragraph at a time. You're like,
that's all I can take today.
So I do that. And then I usually do something that moves us toward your personal life's mission mm-hmm. statement. You know, and I love personality assessments and strength finders and strength tests and spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the Bible, but they give us pieces of the puzzle of who we are. So I love a lot of assessments. They give us insight into ourselves and how we love mm-hmm. others. And then we talk about your life story. I make everybody do life maps.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. but it's good because most of us don't take the time to look back and see God's movement in our lives.
Right.
Even before we said yes to him, how he was orchestrating things, even the low parts that we wish we could have avoided. We're like, oh,
but that still see the hand of God. And listen.
I talked to a young lady who's about to be engaged soon, and I was like, y'all need to do your life maps.
Mm-hmm.
They came from such different backgrounds. I say, it's not you don't have, the thing you need to overcome is not impossible, but you need to be aware.
Yes.
Y'all need to do your life maps and share them with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And walk each other through your life story. Not it's not about skeletons in your closet.
Right.
It's about, here's what my home looked like. These were the high points of my life. Here's the low points of my life. Here's where I dreamed. Here's what disappointed me. Da 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 da. Man, that thing, that gets you right.
Yes. And that forms your belief system. So you got to know everything.
So it doesn't matter how many marriage conferences you go to or how much church you attend. You're listening even to the truth through the Bible. You're listening to the Bible, truth, everything. You're listening to the Holy Spirit through the lens of your life.
Right.
And so if you don't know the lens that your life is creating for you, you won't get to the pure truth of God. It will always be kind of tainted or tinted with however you see life. And so you may as well know.
Yeah.
It's not going to change overnight, but at least you can be like, you know what, Lord? Every time something doesn't go well, I kind of feel like you're not pleased with me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got rejection and approval issues because that's how I was celebrated in my home. God, I need you to help me deal with that because I'm going to struggle with grace. And I'm sure not going to give it if I don't think I'm getting it from God. Like, it just,
absolutely,
it shows up in your orthopraxy, right? Your orthodoxy is what you believe. Mm-hmm. Your orthopraxy is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can know all the things, but you're not living it out. And most of us are very clueless about the lens that our life has created for us. So,
and not just the superficial lens. It's the stuff that's under the surface.
It's the deep stuff.
Yes.
It's the deep stuff. So you saw a mom who, when there was no father present in the home, or maybe he was physically present but didn't have a role. I mean, you may hail her as a champion because she did all those things. But the truth is, if you are to marry or if you ever had to submit to authority, mm-hmm, you might wrestle with what a male's role is in your life.
That's
your boss, your pastor, your husband, like all those things, because you can know what's right, but you never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know, oh, this is what I'm bringing to the table. It changes everything.
Yeah.
And so it helps us, I think, to have a more honest assessment of who we are so we can invite the Holy Spirit to do real work.
Right.
You know, not just the notes and the handouts that everybody gets. We might all get the same tools, but they serve different purposes in our lives. That's right. That's right. So,
ooh,
yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. That discipleship thing, I love it. Inside out, y'all. Get it. Well, if you want.
You got to walk with somebody through it.
And don't read it alone.
You chapter like, by chapter. Don't read it.
Right. You need a friend. You need a friend.
Yes. Yeah. We'll put it in the message notes. You'll see it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Get inside out. Get knowledge of the Holy. Figure out your life. And life is not just purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we love purpose and vision. What am I called to do? We're all called to the same thing.
Yeah.
Love the Lord with your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor. Make disciples. Our calling is going to be pretty universal as Christians. How it shows up in your life might change.
Right.
Depending on your gifts, your experience, your opportunities. It's really not about finding this one thing that you always have to do. If you figure out who you are, you will realize that no matter where you're serving, where you're working, where you're living, you've always been doing the same thing. Because that's
even
who you
before
are.
You thought you knew.
Before you thought you. Listen.
It's the same.
People be asking me about Bible study. I was like, girl, I taught Bible study when I was ratchet in college.
Right.
Ratchet on Saturday night and be like, y'all coming over Sunday, about to get in this word. And the Lord was like, girl, I need you to get this stuff.
Right,
like,
we redeem this.
Right. Still felt compelled.
Yeah.
Still felt compelled to study. Yes. So it was like, man, it's just who you are. It's who God's made you to be, and how he chooses to express that through you in various seasons can change.
And even outside of just Bible study, because it's not even like the quote unquote holy things. It's the child who's there putting their kid, the little Barbie dolls in a circle.
Yes.
Teaching to the, it's the thing, a thread that goes.
Are you meticulous? Do you love order? Do you love structure? You know, I look at my kids now and it's so exciting because I see parenting differently, probably because we old parents. But seeing my kids now, I'm looking at my son, I'm like, man, his compassion is, he can't help but be compassionate.
Right.
I mean, he can't play the draw four in Uno if I'm next. He just can't do it. I'm like, bro, I'm about to play it if you did.
Yes, right.
Let this reverse.
I'm about to start tripping.
Right. Well, I can't do it. You know, and Chloe's like, I'm about to stack this, draw two, draw, you know.
Can we stack all these?
Right, right. And I go out of town, he's like, how long are you going to be gone? And Chloe's like, I prayed that you wouldn't get a plane crash, Mom. We'll see you Sunday, you know. So
we'll love to see that.
They are two very different people. And I'm like, but she's creative too. Mm-hmm. And he's creative, but they're creative in different ways. She's a structured, task-oriented creative. He's a feeling deep, you know. So just watching, I'm like, man, Lord, what you going to do with that? Mm-hmm. And I watch them. I want to watch them so that when they're 20 and 25 and 30, I can say, oh, you've been doing that since you were 7, since you were 6, since you were, I'm like, it's just who you are. So, all that who we are stuff is one of my sweet spots.
Seeing you as a mom is like the most healing, beautiful thing ever, because of how you're
be nice. Yeah. She can be nice. Look at her when she's a mother.
Yeah. Yes, but it's just showing how intentional you are with Joa and Chloe, nurturing to their personalities, guiding them by how God has made them. And so for the person who didn't grow up in a structure like that, who's wanting to parent, but they didn't see it done in a healthy way, how did you get that swing to say, I want to just nurture mm-hmm. what God has given me to pour into you to develop into who he's called you to be?
You know, I think discipleship really helped with that. Mm-hmm. That's why I really say,
exactly your kids.
Yeah, that's yeah. what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're whatever God allows to come into your life, husband, children, or not, mm-hmm. who we're supposed to be as believers is who we're supposed to be,
right?
I should be caring about how to nurture my friend. Mm-hmm. I should be able to speak life into my friend and say, oh, I see God doing that thing mm-hmm. in your life. And the problem is we think there's a lot of things that we don't need to turn on until yeah. some life event happens. You're not going to suddenly be submissive and caring as a wife.
Right.
You're not submissive to your boss. If you can't mutually submit to a friend, like it always got to be the place you want to eat. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like that's not going to flip on at the altar. You're not going to suddenly care about people and wanting to speak God's truth into them when you become a parent.
Right.
So for me, it happened a lot through discipleship in the heart of Philippians 2:3, like consider others' interests mm-hmm. as more important than your own. Like look at the model of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, love your neighbor as yourself. You're thinking about what's best for them.
Yeah.
And it changed, I think, for starting to apply it as a parent because I started to see, man, I have an opportunity mm-hmm. to show my kids that you can be an authority and still be loving and still apologize and still care and still allow them to speak their minds. And you evolve, you know? And so you just like, man, it don't have to just be because I said so.
Right.
I can make them do it or I can figure out why are you struggling.
Right. What is that teaching them?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think just asking the Lord to give guidance. So then there's great resources out there too. But if you become a better, more godly person,
mm-hmm.
it's going to change everything.
Yeah.
So I really am grateful that, you know, we 70 with these little kids because...
70 is great.
Because I'm like, I don't know that they would have gotten this yeah. version of me in my 20s. And so God gives grace for whatever season we're in. Mm-hmm. And so I see that there was intentionality with yeah. me being here at this point, rearing those two, because mm-hmm. they wouldn't have got this.
Yeah.
They would have got because I see it. So.
Yeah.
Ask me one more time. Because that's still in there. Huh?
Don't let it come out.
Listen. I'll be like, now listen, we had two conversations. That's all I got. I'm not that conscious.
Only go,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I think it just comes seasonal.
Yeah. Life.
You know, I was talking to a friend who got married. She's 48. And we were just talking about her first couple of years of marriage. And I was like, it's not going to be like my first couple of years.
Right.
I was 26. It should not be.
Yeah.
Like, you know so much more about yourself and the Lord. So, those same events, if they happen at different seasons,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get hopefully a better version.
Yes.
Yes. So if you 20-something in parenting, don't. Listen, do your best. They'll be all right.
They'll be all right.
They'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about Jada, the Bible teacher. Mm-hmm. So where did this passion that you have for the Bible come from? Because I'm with you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I see you cry is when you're talking about the Bible.
Ain't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Ain't that crazy?
It's confusing.
I think about the Bible.
A little confused.
I know. Right. You know, I just don't know. I think it's just the Lord put that passion in mm-hmm. me. Now, I grew up under the teaching of Tony Evans. I mean, but everybody that grew up under him didn't become Bible teachers. It was, I don't know what it was. I really do not, cannot explain my love for the word. I just know that I've always loved it. Mm-hmm. I remember being 11 and 12 and 13 and sneaking out of youth church and sitting in church. I still have my program notes from...
Really?
Yes, when I was younger. And he would be talking. I mean, he's a genius. He has a theology doctorate. Not some of these new doctors.
Yeah.
He has a 4-year master's and a 4-year doctorate from DTS, first black man to get a PhD, right? I could read his resume. And literally, I say all that to say, he would be teaching sometimes. And in my brain, I'd be like, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, like, what do you not agree with? You're 14.
Right.
And like, and not disagree like heresy, not teaching yeah. the truth. But I'm like, I don't know if I'd say it like that. I don't know if I'd pull that from that passage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as I can remember, that's all I would hear
wow.
people teach and go, yeah, I think I agree with that. That makes sense. Or sometimes I wouldn't agree. And then I would feel compelled to figure out, why do I not agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that much Bible.
Right.
But something in me, it just didn't sit right. And then I had to find, oh, because this don't make sense with this.
Yeah.
And so have just always been a student of the word. Love people who can break it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember, I've loved it.
At what point did you know that you were going to be teaching? Like, was that always a thing that was in you, or where did that piece come from?
So that's interesting, because I think now in hindsight, I would say I was always a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The gift, the spiritual gift of teacher and wisdom. My friends who've known me for years would say, girl, you know, but teaching formally, I don't think it really dawned on me until I was out of college. So I was like 22. I did Bible studies in college, but I just was like, we all so ratchet. I'm the least ratchet. Let's get up in this word. Let's try to do something redeeming, yeah. You know? But I remember, well, all these stories. I was at a young adult choir rehearsal. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had young adults back in the 90s. And a girl came up to me, and she is not like a prophetic dreamer, mm-hmm. kind of. And she said, this is so strange, but I had a dream about you, and the Lord told me to tell you something. I was like, what?
Right.
And she was like, he told me to tell you the scripture in 2 Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season, be ready to reprove, rebuke, and correct. And she read, quoted that whole scripture, which really became like my life verse.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, because the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but they want their ears to be tickled. And I was looking at her like, what are you talking about? She said, I don't know. But I felt like I'm going to be in trouble if I don't tell you this.
Oh,
she said, the Lord's calling you to preach the word. And I was like, girl, bye. Bye.
That was your response?
Yes.
This holy thing yes. that just happened.
Yeah, I was like, oh, girl, I don't know about that. But you know what? Because it kind of scared me.
Yeah.
And I think that's really an indication of when God is asking you to do something, it kind of scares you.
Yes.
If you're excited, like, oh, opportunity, I'm about to kill it. That's probably not
the right.
When the Lord's asking you to do something, you're like, what? I'm not qualified. Wait, what? Like, it feels like, oh, my God.
Right.
It just scared me. I knew the responsibility. I was like, I don't know enough to teach. I don't know. And I remember over the coming weeks, the Lord was like, chill. I'm not saying do it today.
Mm-hmm.
But chill. Don't shut me down.
Right.
You know? So then I started teaching our student ministry. That's when I started teaching the students, and it evolved from there. Then got married, left student ministry to really support, come alongside Conway and his ministry. Then I started getting speaking engagements. Random. Never in my life have I been like, can I come speak at your church?
Right.
Ever. Like, it just was so, not random, it's just the Lord mm-hmm. just making space for it. And so started teaching at singles at our church. Mm-hmm. The grace of Tony Evans, really, because that's a church where women don't right. really teach, you know, in those larger settings. And he let me teach to our singles. And
mm-hmm.
it just a grace was given. And so I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. And so I think it was a slow revelation and a slow acceptance,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the truth most of the time. We kind of hesitate. I was Moses. I was like, Lord, we got to have about 9 conversations about this. I need a bush on fire.
Yes.
I need some sun. Because when you realize what he's asking,
mm-hmm.
ain't nobody like, yes, that's it. I'm not Isaiah. I wasn't like, ooh, send me, Lord. I was like, hold on, Lord. There's got to be somebody better. And so, and then planning one with Conway, him affirming those gifts, you know, super conservative, super gifted as a leader. I mean, it was just so out of the ordinary
yeah.
for him to be like, I want to affirm these gifts in you. So just every stage, mm-hmm. the Lord has continued to say this, the space I want you to be.
Yeah. What would you say to the person that's like feeling that tug to teach, but they don't have the resources, they didn't go to seminary? Mm-hmm. What would you do to encourage them to walk or lean into that inner feeling?
Yeah, well, the only resource you need is the Spirit of God and the Word of God.
Right.
That's it, you know? And I would say when God is asking us to do something, one of the things I wish I had done earlier was just ask him, how do you want me to do it now? Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do with it right now? Because a lot of times he gives us insight to something that may be happening in the yeah. future, or like, this is where I'm sending you, and we're overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not trying to tell you to do that right. at that future point today.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like today?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it, but that's what he was doing when I was teaching in college. I used to send out a newsletter, made up my own newsletter.
That sounds so accurate.
In the days of Hotmail and AOL,
oh,
like a whole newsletter with no Canva. had pictures. It looked like a newspaper column. It's called Jada Journal. And I would send out little anecdotes.
Please show me a copy.
For real. I would send out stories. Like, I would see things and I'd be like, yo, I saw this woman tweeting and da-da-da. And then it would have a little Bible verse and, I mean, a whole subscription. Just sending that to my friends. Oh, I did a women's retreat for my friends. I forgot about that, too. It was like 8 of us. We went to a retreat in the Hill Country in Texas. Had they beds. I mean, whole thing, program. So if you really are open and you look back over your life, you're like, oh, yeah, these are things I've been doing, mm-hmm. and I really just was doing them. And so I say your resources, you already have them.
Right.
You know, you already have the resources for the people God wants you to reach. Mm-hmm. If it's 10 people, you know the 10 people. Mm-hmm. Ask the Lord who it is. Yeah. And when it came to seminary, you know, I thought about going, but I think when I really started teaching more, I had just finished my master's. I got my MBA. And I'm not a natural school learner. I'm like, oh my gosh,
write an
article on that. You know,
the clip.
I don't want to. Oh my gosh, my friend be in the library 8 hours, and after 30 minutes, I'm like, are we good? Yeah, I think we're ready for the spinal. They'd be like, check. It is not my jam. I love learning, mm-hmm. but the academic structured classroom was just not my jam, and so it kind of just made me go, Lord, if I got to do seminary, I don't know. And I started to realize a lot of people that I read and loved were teaching before seminaries existed,
right,
and giving me truth that was still foundational. So it felt more possible, mm-hmm. that the Lord could really use me, yeah. the way I want. I knew how I wanted to teach the scriptures, and I was like, I don't know of another path besides seminary.
Yeah.
And he's like, just trust me. And then I started... You know, I had a husband that went to seminary. You know, it's like people say, I'm not a doctor, but I played one on TV.
Right.
I had to go to seminary, but I married one, you know. So I had commentaries. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the craziest thing. How would I have all this library of commentaries at my disposal? Commentaries, and it's before you could be online, but I had the thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, we're going to figure this out and do my best. And of course, I had a husband that was listening. So if I was about to go off the rails,
like, hold on.
He'd be like, hold on, babe. You know. But again, a grace of the Lord, that I just had to use the tools that were available. Yeah. And then as time, life got busy, I was like, I don't really have time for the seminary.
Right.
Then I started feeling intimidated by it. I was like, everybody else that's in this space is, mm-hmm. and the Lord really showed me clearly that for that season, and I'm still in that season, it could change. I might go to seminary next year, but for that season, not being in the formal education space was going to be a part of my testimony. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get that until I started teaching and started to get this common question of people saying, where'd you go to school?
Right.
And when I tell them I didn't go to school, they were like, what? And I was like, yes, you too. Mm-hmm. Instead of scriptures, go be with the Lord, right. You know? And I started realizing, oh, the Lord is using this. Yeah. Because for me, there was a group of people I needed to reach, mm-hmm. that I wanted to take down the excuse of you have to have all this training to do these things. No, you can know the mm-hmm. truth. You might not be called to teach,
right?
But you called to know. You can know.
That's real.
You might not be called to teach. You can be called to know. So, mm-hmm. and you can know it. Be diligent. Seek the Lord.
Yes.
Use the resources. But the Lord, His people, there's so many things out there to help us, you know? So I just have, when people say, I feel like God's calling me to do something, anything, I don't care what field or mark, I'm like, what are you doing right now with it?
Right.
Because He doesn't take us from 0 to 60.
Right.
He doesn't. He gives us these stepping stones along the way where you say, you keep saying yes. And those consecutive yeses and that obedience takes you somewhere.
Yes.
And so that's my firm belief for everything.
I love it. Okay. We're going to get a little lighter. So if you weren't a Bible teacher in all the commas that you mentioned before, what would you be doing?
Somewhere in my heart, I think I would be like something artistic, fashion, interior design. I'm a frustrated interior designer, meaning I have tons of things on my Pinterest board and none of it has come to pass in my house. Things that I really am interested mm-hmm. in. I love all things artistic. I love paint. I used to paint in my spare time. I love creation. Mm-hmm. I love film. I love music. I don't know. I'd probably be somewhere trying to write a song and not good at it because that's not what the Lord called me to do. Or I'd be a comedian.
Yeah.
I'd be like a good Christian comedian. I'm not trying to judge, but man, like a funny one.
Yeah, like a for real funny.
Like you can be funny even if the people didn't grow up in church. Like the jokes aren't just about church. They just funny.
Right.
But they're not
they're
filthy. Yeah.
Right.
It's funny.
Yeah.
If I could throw shade for a living, be a wealthy woman.
I think that's probably why you're not doing it. Oh, my God.
If shade was a career. Like,
oh, my
God.
Oh, my God.
For real.
So if we flipped it, say you're in your retired era, you don't want to travel and stuff and speak anymore, what would you be doing with all that you've learned right now? What is like 60, 70-year-old Jada?
Saying whatever I want to say.
Let's not
do that. I went, I'm about to be 50 this year. The filter is coming down.
And that's going to be my transition.
If you don't want to know.
I cannot.
If you don't want to know, don't ask me.
My role is turning into PR at that point.
Yeah, you're going to have to be like, run that through me. Do not talk to
no, the doctor. Oh, my goodness.
No, let me see. If I was older, I would probably, in my dream world, I'd probably be somewhere. I would have an easel up all the time. Like,
really?
I could just go paint when I want. Before I had kids and nurseries and they need a bedroom with no kids, be needing a place to sleep. I had an easel set up all the time. I would paint. So I'd probably be painting whenever I wanted. I'd probably be, I don't know, working with somebody on a song. Like, ooh, let me help with that. I would probably be coaching. Mm-hmm. I love talking to people and helping mm-hmm. them figure out things that I've stumbled
life
through.
Coaching?
Mm-hmm. But that's such a weird word, the way people say it. They want a life coaching. Your life ain't what? So.
Wow. That's the shade that you're talking about, right?
Right. And I'm just like, your life don't need to be perfect, but you have to coach me on something you've done.
Right.
You can, girl, we got the same books. You can't coach me on what you read.
Like it.
So I would probably be like dealing with, not pastors' wives specifically, but like women who want to lead, teach, whether it's an executive space, entrepreneur. Like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Helping women feel like you can do this. You can honor the Lord and feel it, you know.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be doing like 20 things because I really am scatterbrained. So when people say you do a lot, I'm like, yeah, because I'm not, man, it's not a badge of honor. It's just like, know how you're wired.
Yes.
I'm not good at a singular focus. I'm not. If I have to do any one thing for a long period of time, I'm not going to do it well. So I need to be doing 20 things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we teach Bible study. I love it. And after the 8 sessions in the semester, I'm like, woof, I'm tired. Like, my husband teaches every weekend.
Right,
like,
every single
week. Yeah. I'm like, I'm in a Lord bless you.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just, that's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, being a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I'll still be doing that.
Okay. So you mentioned the creative, artsy side. And one thing that, I don't care how good the message is, it will always be someone in the comments. Where did you get that outfit?
Yeah.
Where did you do that? Who styles you? So where does all that come from? And do you have a stylist?
I do have a stylist, and she is me. I am her.
I am her.
Right. So mostly because I'm cheap. But, and I'm too particular.
Uh-huh.
And I just randomly see things that I'm like, I'm going to try this and see if I like it. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, is it covered? See, first of all, I love clothes. I love fashion, all this stuff. Then you're like, is it covered enough when you turn around? Does it cover up everything?
Right.
Does it work with the lighting? It's just so many things
mm-hmm.
that just won't let you be all the way great. But so, yeah, I've always liked clothes and style and things like that. People are funny. I love the Saints. But I think it's because most people are like, not most. There are people who like style and fashion, and they're trying to figure out a way to do it and not look like the world, but not look frumpy. Like, I still want to have a little, you know, Jasmine dance to it, but... You know, why I got to be that? Why I got to be all or nothing? And so I don't know. People probably won't understand. They may not. They might. I also have felt like that's been a part of my ministry, you know?
100%.
I think there's things that might not be a listed spiritual gift that God uses. They're unique to you. They're part of your ministry, you know? It's like when I told Linnell Grant when she was here, I was like, that she's got this tomboyish kind of vibe, mm-hmm. but super motherly and wifey, and hasn't grown into that. It's part of your ministry
mm-hmm.
that women see that and go, oh, that doesn't, it's not mutually exclusive mm-hmm. with wife and mother and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So part of mine has been clothes and style and fashion, because I since the beginning, I want people to feel like you can have it together and mm-hmm. keep it covered, you know?
Yeah.
And church girl doesn't have to look a certain way, mm-hmm. you know? So I was natural when we started the church.
Yeah.
That was a whole headline. Like, people would come to the church.
Boy, you're like,
2008. I haven't been natural since 2002.
Right.
But people would be like, I've never met a person like this natural. I was like, what? And to me, that was the most random thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they'd be like, girl, you got locks. Yeah, it's whatever. You know, so they're little things, but it's people say, oh, I see myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm all denim with combat boots on and it's a tomboyish kind of day, cool.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Easter and I want my heels on a dress, cool. You know, so I just think that whatever that those other little maybe overlooked parts of who a person is, they become part of your story. And so I love talking to women about clothes and style and listen, that's why we got a whole boutique at the conference. So we can be like,
it's a whole Nordstrom.
That's what it is. You know, we love it because we like to be cute.
Yeah.
And covered.
Yeah. But what you just said, that's a thread because you're doing things in life that's attainable to other people. So not going to seminary, like all these things that are happening. And so it's not you up there in a bunch of brand names and things like that. Mm-hmm. This is achievable style. That's modest, that looks good, that I can express myself. So
I love it. So that's funny you said brand names. Now, I do like some nice brand names. And I, you know, that's a whole conviction thing of how much you spend on stuff. Mm-hmm. And we all have different convictions. But I have been intentional about the display of brands.
Yeah.
Very intentional. And so for me, this is not any judgment on anybody. I never want to wear something that is an instant disqualifier to somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Gucci. I can't afford that. Mm-hmm. Like, I want them to see the style of it. You want to put this white shirt with this jeans? It's
right.
Great. It's not cute because it got LVs on it.
Right.
It's cute because you like the style of it.
Right.
Right. So, and people, we love our name brands. I get it. We need to hold those loosely. But I do think it's important to not say things, present things that create barriers for people.
Yeah.
Like, they need to be able to, like, oh, I see myself there. And so that's an intentional thing. And that's hard.
It is very hard.
Because if you have the ability to get certain things or do certain things, you have to be like, I can't. That's hard. But I do try to be intentional about that. I've had so many mothers over the years even tell me, my teenage daughter looks up to you, wants to dress like you. That's a blessing to me because I'm like, she's seeing all these things at school.
Yes.
But she wants to dress like this, you know? So, yeah, I'm super conscious of it all the time. We're picking stuff for the women's conference. I'm like, will the students wear this?
Right. That's the thing.
I am. And when the students wore that jacket last year, I was like, I can go
there.
They're
still wearing
it. Students approved.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to end it on your infamous question, bucket list. What's an item on your bucket list that you want to check off?
I have so many items, and I'm going to drag my husband to all of them. I want to go to Fiji.
Oh.
I want to go to Bora Bora and Fiji. I want to go to New Zealand. I may need to do it all together. I probably want to see, like, all the major things in the world. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. But I love the earth that God's created. I love travel. I want to see the cherry blossoms in Japan.
Yeah.
I want to see the two towers in Malaysia. You know, I want all the things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give me some exotic place, some adventure, I'll
love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's good because it'll never be done. Are you listening, Conway? Never.
I'm going to send the clip to
it'll me. Never be done.
Oh my gosh. I have so many more questions, but
we'll do a part two later. Yeah.
We'll have to do a part two.
We will.
So good. Well, the people now know a little bit about you.
A little bit.
All right.
A little bit. Yes. If y'all find some jobs for Shade Thrower, let me know.
Let's not. Not put that in the comments. Oh my gosh.
Thanks, Dahlia. I didn't introduce her. This is Dahlia Stevens. Y'all, she is my chief of staff, executive organizer of my life, all the things.
Amen.
And so she did good. And she knows a lot more than she asked. So very good.
Part two. Get ready.
If you see an unapproved version on just her socials.
It's going to be me telling you. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're done.
So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure leave a comment, leave a review, share, subscribe, all the things, and we'll catch you next time.